Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's ask Howard Beck if he can survive without Twitter. How about that?
You know, Howard just wrote a great piece for SportsIllustrated.com, and it is about LeBron James. And it part of it deals with the GOAT debate, but it's just about LeBron and his accomplishments. And check that out, SportsIllustrated.com. Howard Beck of SI now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can we move the trade deadline if Twitter isn't up by 4 p.m. tomorrow?
Twitter is back. It did start functioning again within the last couple minutes. DMs do not appear to be back yet. I can't get to those, but you can tweet again. So the world is safe for mankind and trade deadlines at the moment.
And Woj and Howard Beck and Shams. Yeah, I'm so happy. All right, so let's start with LeBron. I actually wanted to start not about necessarily last night, but more about just like specific eras of LeBron. Which town got the best iteration of LeBron? Cleveland, Miami, or LA?
Ooh, interesting. The best iteration of LeBron, I mean, look, his best stretch obviously is eight straight finals that spans the 4 years in Miami and his second tour in Cleveland. And, you know, there's three titles along the way there. So somewhere between the 2011-12 season, after he had, you know, kind of gotten over everything that happened in the first finals with Miami. So somewhere like in that 11-12 range through, I guess, 2017-18. I mean, it's the thing is, like, the Cavs got their butts kicked by the Warriors once the Warriors got Durant those last couple of seasons that they played the Cavs in the finals. And LeBron was done in by a kind of a faltering supporting cast, too, and, you know, the infamous J.R. Smith play and all that. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers knew at the moment they signed LeBron a few years back that they were getting late-stage LeBron. And I think if you knew that he was going to play at this level, this far into his – this deep into his career, I mean, they would have absolutely celebrated, you know, because you didn't know how many good years of LeBron the Lakers were going to get at the tail end here. But LeBron's twilight is apparently going to be a lot longer than anybody else's.
Howard, I got a question. My partner is a very smart guy in some ways.
Incredibly intelligent in
some ways. And yesterday we got into a bit of a – it wasn't a heated debate. It was kind of a silly
– It was a little heated.
It was kind of silly, Howard. But he was mad because the game was going to be at 10 o'clock, you know, on a school night.
And I'm old.
And we're not that old. But I'm like, stay up for the game. It's okay. They've got this thing scheduled. It's a West Coast team. He's like, well, they should have rescheduled this to a 5:30 West Coast tip time. How difficult would that have been to do?
Very difficult. I mean, one, rescheduling it at the last minute.
Leading, right?
You know, there's you know, just functional arena issues and staffing issues and everything else.
Yep.
On top of that, this was obviously a much more intensely attended game than the average regular season game. This was more like a conference finals or finals game when it comes to the amount of people they needed there to create that moment once LeBron got the record and to stop the game. And you saw how many NBA employees were on the court, plus all the, you know, other dignitaries who were there. It takes a lot. On top of that, it's LA, guys. Like, no one's getting to the arena at 5 o'clock on a
weeknight.
That's
what I said. Told you.
Yeah.
It seems no to be a, there at it 5:30. Seems to be an LA problem, not a Nick Wilson problem. Howard Beck on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I did want to ask you about your cover piece on this, and you actually took it back to 1984 and kind of went through Kareem and you know, the breaking the record and how different the NBA was. So I guess we'll start there. There's a record that stood for almost 40 years. How different is the end, or how different was it when Kareem broke the all-time scoring record from when LeBron broke it last night?
So I want everybody who watched the game to think about what you saw last night. The celebrities in the crowd, the massive number of NBA dignitaries and staffers who you saw there organizing that moment on the court. Think about how the number of cameras in there. Think about the fact that it was on TNT. Think about the fact that, in fact, that game last night was broadcast around the world to about 200 countries and, of course, streamed on the internet, everything else. Think about all that, all the tweets, all the social media, every single way in which you consumed this game or observed it. In 1984, obviously long before the internet and social media, long before satellite TV, cable, and even cable TV in a lot of places, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke that record with, I'm told by people who were there, like 20 to 30 media members, which was considered a big deal then. 20 to 30 meant, man, there's been a big surge of reporters for that night. Also, the game was played at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas at UNLV because it was a Utah Jazz home game, and the Jazz that season and for a while there were playing a number of quote-unquote home games every season in Las Vegas to try to expand their fan base and to promote themselves. So that the way that the schedule broke, that's where it ended up being. Now, today, if that were happening and you didn't want to play the game in a non-NBA city, a neutral site, you would have kind of manipulated things the way that LeBron sort of did when he didn't play here in Brooklyn last week and, you know, pushed back kind of the timeline for him to break the record. You're not doing that in 1984. There's no load management in 1984. There's no player rest in 1984. Pat Riley wasn't about to sit Kareem. Kareem probably wasn't about to sit. And that Laker team, unlike this one, actually had stakes that season because they went to the finals and, you know, they had, you know, every game mattered. And it was also in April. So they, I think they were still jockeying for a position in the standings. The only national TV broadcast in 1984 when Kareem broke the record was the fledgling USA Network, which back then was mostly like cartoons and talk shows, I think. So it was a much, much different time. The hoopla was a fraction of what we all just saw last night. So, yeah, a fun trip into the archives to see how things played out 39 years ago.
Howard, looking to LeBron and his time in L.A., you know, I have, from a distance, assessed that Laker fans don't feel like LeBron's time in L.A. has lived up to the billing. Does LeBron still have work to do on his L.A. Laker legacy despite winning the title in the bubble?
It's interesting. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast a few hours ago, and he made a really interesting one point and one observation. Or kind of a conclusion. The conclusion was, he said, and this is going to sound like shades of that was the night, you know, fill in the blank became president. He said that was the last night was the night that LeBron really became a Laker, or the Laker fans truly embraced him. Because if you think about it, the championship in 2020, won in the bubble. It wasn't won in L.A. There was no parade. Laker fans did not get to actually participate meaningfully in the one championship that he won them. And, you know, the whole point of the exercise of having LeBron James on your team is to win championships, and he got them one. So, you know, mission accomplished, but it happened in a weird space. The whole world was in a weird place at that moment. And so it's not to asterisk it by any stretch, but it is to say that it didn't have the same kind of resonance probably for Laker fans. And last night was this incredible moment that is also authored by LeBron that they did get to participate in fully. And so I think there's something to that. You know, if he never wins another championship for the Lakers, I think we'll always look at this particular stage of his career through, you know, a little bit of a different lens, right? Like, he went to Miami, they went to four straight finals and won two championships. He comes back to Cleveland, they go to four straight finals and win another and win a championship there. He's still good enough. He is not at the same peak he was physically that he was, you know, for those 8 years. but he's still good enough that he should be able to lead the Lakers deep in the playoffs every year. But partially injuries to him, partially injuries to Anthony Davis, partially some absolutely disastrous moves made by the front office. And, you know, so right now you look at this particular chapter of his career and it feels a little unfulfilling. And I'm sure that's certainly how Laker fans would feel if they don't fix this thing. And, you know, clock is literally ticking toward the trade deadline tomorrow.
Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Howard, what are the next benchmarks for LeBron from now to the end of his career?
I mean, I said years ago, in my view, he didn't need to prove anything else. You know, I don't think this ring counting thing that happens. Well, Kobe's got five, Duncan's got five. You know, obviously Jordan's got six. I know that that's even LeBron has said he's chasing that ghost. That's fine, but I mean, if he never gets there, his career is still amazing unto itself, and he has done things that Jordan hasn't done, like going to 8 straight finals and 10 overall, and taking 3 straight teams to the championship. And his career is just different. Obviously, he's got the scoring record now. He's top 4 all time in assists. His resume is beyond complete. There's always another stage. There's always another record or another player to pass on some ranking. But he could retire today, and there's nothing left to prove as far as I'm concerned. All that said, he's still playing at such a high level that I think it's kind of, I use this word, you know, lightly in basketball terms, but it's kind of a tragedy to see his talent being wasted right now, because he is an all-time great, and you want to see the all-time greats, their performances matter. And right now his performances aren't mattering. They lost the game last night, lest we forget, to the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that is in the midst of a partial rebuild / teardown / whatever it is. They're rising fast and their young players are nice and they're going to be good before too long, but they're not supposed to be playing for anything meaningful this season. And they just won a game on the Lakers home court while LeBron is getting this record. So, you know, that part of it, as I say, LeBron has nothing to prove, but you want to see what he's doing right now still matter. And it's not right now for the Lakers.
Let me ask you about the Kyrie deal to Dallas. I mean, it was a big story, obviously, the last couple of days, really, since he asked for the trade. Ends up in Dallas, not in Los Angeles. Dallas sits at 29-26 in the Western Conference. Do you give them any chance to win a championship?
The Mavericks, no. I'm not there. Maybe if they make another move to shore up their defense. But, you know, Dallas's three best players now, Luka, Kyrie Irving, and Christian Wood, their three best offensive players anyway, are all minuses defensively. And, you know, also midseason trade for a star of Kyrie's caliber and makeup takes some adjustment. Like, you know, can those two play together? Sure, of course they can. Kyrie and LeBron figured it out. Kyrie and Kevin Durant figured it out to some extent, although they never really got untracked in Brooklyn. Kyrie and Luke will be fine, but I mean, you're going there with, you know, 30 games or whatever left, and so you're trying to adjust on the fly. And they traded their best defender in Dorian Finney-Smith to get him. I'm not buying Dallas because, you know, they're still going to be a bottom third defensive team, and you know they're still, you know, a piece or two away. So you know the West is wide open. I believe that. I know the Nuggets are you know kind of the pseudo favorite right now. I think there's a bunch of teams that could win the West, but I'm not convinced on the Mavericks.
Howard Beck on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline here. We do have some news coming along for the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland out tonight against Detroit. Raul Neto and Caris LeVert will be stepping into the starting lineup.
Sounds fantastic.
So hopefully you took Detroit in the 10.5 points
for
tonight.
Which we did.
You know what, Howard? Really quickly, with the deadline tomorrow, are you expecting a frenzied deadline, and do you think the Cavs need to make a move?
I'm not expecting a frenzied deadline, but, you know, we never know. Everybody I've talked to around the league, though, feels the same, that you know, things are just kind of locked up. You know, the play-in tournament combined with the you know, the flatter lottery odds has made every team believe they've got something to play for. They're either playing for the play-in or they're playing to get out of the play-in and get to six, or they're trying to play to get to the top four to have home court. So there's not a lot of sellers right now, and so that's kind of suffocating the trade market. But you never know. It only takes one or two deals to break through, and then maybe there's a flurry of activity as we get the last minute arms race. The Cavs, look, there's a clear tier in the East. The Celtics and the Bucks are in their own tier. That's just the way it is. Those are the teams that have the best balance, the best depth and array of talent, and have both proven that they can be in the finals. Bucks obviously won a championship. Celtics lost, but they've both been in the last two finals. Everybody else is chasing those teams, and the Cavs are in that group. Obviously, they got to get healthy. It would help if they could get a steady small forward, preferably somebody who can shoot three pointers at a decent clip. But I'll say what I've been saying for the last year about the Cavs. They're already ahead of schedule, and the Donovan Mitchell acquisition kind of pushed them that much further forward and probably raised the expectations out there. But they're still a fairly young team and inexperienced in the postseason. And, we'll see if there's another move that Kobe Altman and his staff can make in the next, less than 24 hours now. I like where they are. I'm not going to be disappointed on their behalf if they don't get anything done before the deadline. They're still going to make some noise in the playoffs.
Follow this man on Twitter while you can, at Howard Beck. Also, check out his story on how the NBA scoring record was broken 39 years ago on Sports Illustrated. Howard, you're a gentleman. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.